Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, dear saints of God, and welcome to another broadcast of Contending for the Faith. This was a broadcast that was scheduled. We were scheduled to go on the air yesterday, but we could not because of a severe thunderstorms in our area, and we had to disconnect all of our wires and equipment in fear of, you know, not burning out our computers, our equipment. So this is why we were scheduled to be on yesterday, but you never heard the show, and this is why we're on early today. And so today, my dear brothers and sisters, as you know, the fight continues. We're still waging war against those who have infiltrated the church, like the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops, who, in my estimation, are stooges of Rome, who have infiltrated the church in order to take the church back to Rome. That's right. That's right. So we're going to talk about major Protestant denominations that have sadly joined apostate Rome in recent years. Major Protestant denominations, such as the Methodists, such as the Baptists, such as Anglicans, such as Lutherans. Major Protestant denominations that have sadly, it breaks your heart, it breaks my heart, that has sadly joined apostate Rome. And we see this not just in the major denominations, but we see it now in the smaller denominations, such as the Pentecostal Church, such as the African American Pentecostal Church. And, of course, we're waging a daily battle for the hearts and minds. Because, my brothers and sisters, if you surrender to Jesus, if you gave your life to Jesus, if he is your Lord and Savior, what in the world are you doing chasing Rome? If you sang that song, "I Surrender All," if you tell me you surrendered all, but you're dressed in vestments, and you're stating Roman Catholic gibberish, you haven't surrendered all. That's double talk. You speak it with forked tongue. You're speaking out of both sides of your mouth. I can't tell my wife that she's my one and only and then have a side chick. That's not going to fly. I can't tell my wife that Monday through Friday I'm all hers, and then Saturday through Sunday I belong to somebody else. That's not going to fly in my house, and that's not going to fly in God's house. That's called adultery, whether it's natural adultery or spiritual adultery. If you surrender all to Christ, you have no business going to Rome, seeking an audience with the Pope, bowing before him, kissing his ring, and also kissing his fanny. You have no business. No, the Pope is Antichrist. That's what he is. He's Antichrist. And we'll say it, listen, we'll say it until they take us off the air or, you know, something else happens. But we're going to continue to say it. I'm gonna do just like the Reverend Ian Paisley. Boy, did he give the Pope his just desserts. You know, Ian Paisley, you mentioned the Pope to Ian Paisley, and he just went bonkers. If you mentioned Billy Graham, who got into bed with the Pope, Ian Paisley would go bonkers too. And that's why when you mention the Pope to me, I go bonkers. And when you mention the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops, I go bonkers. So, my brothers and sisters, listen, we have two free ebooks that we're giving away. Two free ebooks. One ebook is called Jackass Church Bishops, and it explains how Satan has entered the church, not through a Trojan horse. Now listen, Satan has hijacked the church, but not with a Trojan horse, but with an Episcopal jackass called the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops. Satan. So if you want that book, if you want that wonderful book, and I can tell you people are asking it, I can't keep up with the emails. We can't keep up. If you want the book, the requests are starting to pick up. We're starting to gain some momentum since I went down to the city and was talking to a few people and enlisting people to help me promote it. It's picking up. It's picking up. The momentum is shifting. The momentum is shifting. So, my brothers and sisters, if you want the free ebook, Jackass Church Bishops, which is a riveting read, a prophetic read, a no-nonsense read, in-your-face read, if you want the book with all of its wonderful footnotes, I document everything. I'm not just talking to talk. I'm not Jay Delano Ellis, who writes a book and there's not one footnote or endnote in it. He doesn't cite his sources. I don't know what school Dr. Ellis went to. Did he write? I mean, if he's Dr. Ellis, it must mean he wrote a doctoral thesis. I'd like to see his doctoral thesis. Could he submit? Could he give us a sample of his? I'll pay for it. I'll buy the doctoral thesis. I don't want it for free. I'll pay him for it. I just want to see what he wrote about. What school, what institution of higher learning gave him a doctorate? What school is that? I like to read his doctoral thesis to see if it has any merit. I want to see if it has any endnotes or footnotes. I want to see. I want to see if he graduated from a legitimate institution of higher learning or if he went to a diploma mill. I want to see. Because when I read his books, when I read his published works, there's not an endnote or a footnote in it. And it's double-spaced. All his books are double-spaced, which means that very little writing in his pamphlets. You know, when you double-space something, if you were to put single-space, single-space means that each one of Jay Delano Ellis's pages is half a page. When you double-space it, it becomes a full page. So if his pamphlet is 50 pages long and he calls it a book, it's really 25 pages. Worthless piece of trash, this book that he wrote that I paid $30 for, The Bishopric, a handbook on creating episcopacy in the African-American Pentecostal Church. He created nothing. He created nothing. He copied. He copied is what he did. He created nothing. So the title is inaccurate. So my brothers and sisters, if you want the book, Jackass Church Bishops, which is single space, not double space, it's 247 pages long, or 243, somewhere in that ballpark. 257 footnotes, 15 chapters. Of in-your-face writing, exposition. If you want the book, it's yours free. Email me at freechurchbooks@gmail.com. freechurchbooks@gmail.com. If you want my other book, in which I expose Jensen Franklin, the moron from Gainesville, Georgia, the imbecile who leads the 7 free chapel churches. If you want the book called Spirit of Python Dunce, showing how Jensen Franklin's idiotic interpretation of Acts 16:16 proves he's a biblical moron, if you want that book, the first one in a trilogy that I'm giving away, I'm giving away the whole trilogy, but if you want volume 1, email me at freechurchbooks@gmail.com. Free church books. I'll get them off to you immediately. 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 We'll get them off to you free of charge. No obligation. Oh, the only obligation is read it. That's the only obligation. Take to heart what you read. Ponder what you read. scrutinize what you read. When you read it, the only obligation is have your thinking cap on. Don't be a dimwit and read it and say, this author is a hater. I'm not a hater. I love souls. I love souls. I'm a preacher. I'm called to preach salvation in Jesus' name. We're trying to turn people around. In fact, let me read to you James. I want to go to the last verse in the epistle of James. The last verse. Last two verses in the epistle of James. James chapter 5. And James says in James chapter 5 verse 19 and 20, and this is how he closes out his letter. He says, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and boy, has the members of the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops, have they erred from the truth in chasing Rome? They've erred. They've gone astray from the truth. They've gone after myths and fables. Anyone who promotes apostolic succession is chasing a fairy tale. That's what they're doing, chasing a devilish fairy tale. A doctrines of demons concocted fairy tale. James says, brethren, if any of you do err from the faith and one convert him, the word convert is to turn around. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to turn a bunch of people around. Let that person that does the turning around know that he that converted the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and hide a multitude of sins. This is what we're trying to do through these broadcasts. We're trying to save people. We're trying to get them turned around. These people claim that they serve Jesus, that they've surrendered all to Jesus. Impossible. Listen, you haven't surrendered all to Jesus if you are on your knees kissing the Pope's hand. I'm sorry. You are delusional. You have been lobotomized. You've been lobotomized. So, if you want those two books, Jackass Church Bishops and Spirit of Python Dunce, email me the author, Moses Henry Jones. Just email me, say, brother, is this too good to be true? And I will say, yes, you're going to get two books. All you have to do is ask for them. Go to email me at freechurchbooks@gmail.com, freechurchbooks@gmail.com. Now, if you like to support the broadcast, if you like to support us, and you like what we do here, and appreciate the fact that we're on the air every day, and you appreciate the fact that we speak truth to power, that you love the fact that we protect the sheep from these Episcopal wolves and want to help us stay on the air, then go to our website. Go to www.dailymannaandwhy.com, www.dailymannaandwhy.com. Click on any one of the PayPal buttons and say, I'd like to donate a few dollars to keep you on the air. And we'll greatly appreciate it. We'll greatly appreciate it. So, my brothers and sisters, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, we want to talk today about four denominations. And listen, I don't need to be long today. The audio's not long. It's not a long audio. It's a very short audio. It's not even 6 minutes long. It's a six-minute long audio, and it shows how the Methodist first, the Baptist second, the Anglicans third, and the Lutherans have all rejoined Rome. And your church will shortly join Rome because the Bible prophesies, it speaks about a one-world religion. A one-world religion that will lead everybody back to the old Antichrist, the Pope, and then when the new Antichrist shows up, the old Antichrist, the Pope, will be moved out of the way, and the new Antichrist, called the Beast, the son of perdition, the little horn, he'll be worshipped. He'll be worshipped because you've already been worshipping a man. Who you been worshipping? Well, the guy you guys call your holiness. Your holiness, the Pope. Whatever Pope that may be, whether it's John Paul I, John Paul II, Benedict XVI, and Pope Francis I. It makes no difference. It makes no difference. No matter what Pope is in office, people just bow before these men and kiss their ring and kiss their fanny, and whatever the Pope says, oh my goodness, the Holy Father spoke to me, the Holy Father looked my way, oh my God, I'll never wash my hand. I'll never wash my hand. Well, if you'll never wash your hand, if you'll never wash your hand after the Pope kisses it, you'll never be in the you'll never be washing the blood of the Lamb, because you are committing idolatry. Idolatry. You're worshiping a man, a mortal, rather than worshiping Christ. This is why when these people say, all to Jesus I surrender, and you see them hightailing it to Rome to spend a few days with the Pope at the Pontifical College, and they're hanging on his every word, and they just can't wait. They just can't wait to have an audience with the Pope. Listen, they sold out. They sold out. And if your leader sold out, he's going to have you sell out. He's going to have you sell out. So let's listen. Let's listen to this audio. It's not very long. But the first are the Methodists. Listen to what the Methodists have done. First, the Methodists start off with John Wesley. And we'll find out what John Wesley thought about the Pope. But centuries later, let's see what his followers think about the Pope. Let's see.
When speaking of the papacy, John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, stated he is, in an emphatical sense, the man of sin, as he increases all manner of sin above measure. And he is, too, properly styled the son of perdition, as he has caused the death of numberless multitudes, both of his opposers and followers. He it is that exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, claiming the highest power and highest honor, claiming the prerogatives which belong to God alone. Today?
Well, basically, Wesley, in speaking of the Pope and calling him the Antichrist, is basically quoting 2 Thessalonians. He's quoting 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where Paul talks about the man of sin, the Antichrist, the son of perdition. Wesley says that's the Pope. That's the institution of the Pope, and every Pope that sits and sways power under his rule. It's the Pope and the institution of the papacy, which is Antichrist. Now let's see what the Methodists say today. Let's see what Wesley's followers say today.
The Methodist Church declares, we the people of the United Methodist Church are ready to continue the journey with the Roman Catholic Church.
We the people of the Methodist of the United Methodist Church, we are ready to continue the journey with the Roman Catholic Church. Boy, Wesley must be rolling over in his grave. What? We're also going to hear from a guy named Thomas Kemper. Thomas Kemper runs the United Methodist Church today. Let's listen.
Praying for one another, staying in a respectful dialogue with one another, knowing of the differences, but believing that Christ unites us. Thomas Kemper, who leads the United Methodist Board of Global Ministries and was for many years a missionary in Brazil, also said he was glad to see the shifting center of gravity for Christianity represented in the new Pope being from Latin America.
Thomas Kemper, who now leads the United Methodist Church. We're excited. That the Pope is from Latin America, he's from Argentina, and we're just excited. Now their founder said that the Pope and the whole institution of the papacy was 2 Thessalonians 2, Antichrist. But centuries later, in fulfillment with biblical prophecy, there's the coming together of a one world religion. And major Protestant denominations who once called the Pope Antichrist are now saying the Pope is the Christ. Here's the Baptists. Let's listen. Let's find out what the Baptist founder in America had to say, the first Baptist pastor, and then let's hear what his followers say. The founder of the Baptist Church in America called the Pope Antichrist. But today, hundreds of years later, his followers now claim that the Pope is not the Antichrist, but the Vicar of Christ. Let's listen.
Roger Williams, the first Baptist pastor in America, when speaking of the Pope, he said that he is the pretended Vicar of Christ on earth, who sits as God over the temple of God, exalting himself not only above all that is called God, but over the souls and consciences of all his vassals, yea, over the Spirit of Christ, over the Holy Spirit, yea, and God himself, speaking against the God of heaven, thinking to change times and laws. But he is the son of perdition.
Now, again, here is Roger Williams, a very prominent Baptist minister who came from England and was the first Baptist pastor in America. He also, like Wesley, when reading 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, said, listen, the Pope is Antichrist. He is the man of sin. He is the son of perdition. The son of perdition. 250 years later, just 250 somewhat years later, let's hear what the Baptists have to say about the Pope. Now, remember, saints, remember that when Roger Williams came over from England, he brought with him the Baptist Confession of Faith, the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689, which stated that the Pope was Antichrist. So when Roger Williams came to America, he brought that Confession of Faith, which the Baptist American churches which had just been founded are following that London Confession of Faith. They're following the same one. There was no need to create a new one. They're following the old Baptist Confession of Faith. And yet today, no one reads the Baptist Confession of Faith, which is squarely founded upon Scripture, and now today they're just singing Kumbaya, and they can't wait to hug the Pope and kiss the Pope and love on the Pope, the man of sin. Let's listen.
The 1689 London Baptist Confession said, "The Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church, in whom, by appointment of the Father, all power for the calling, institution, order, or government of the church is invested in a supreme and sovereign manner. Neither can the Pope of Rome in any sense be head thereof, but is that Antichrist, that man of sin, and son of perdition, that exalted himself in the church against Christ and all that is called God, whom the Lord shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." The Baptist Church of today says the following on their Baptist News website. It says, "Baptists, reacting to this week's installation of Pope Francis, voice hope about his record for improving relations between Catholics and Protestants, his concern for the poor, and the face he puts on the broader Christian community for non-believers. Francis could spark a spiritual renewal benefiting American churches, Catholic or otherwise. That could be especially true for Baptist and other evangelical churches in Latin America. It's being able to recognize one another as brothers and sisters in Christ and have a common witness of Christ to the world. Many do not discern denominational differences or know or care about the theological gulf dividing Catholics and Protestants. So, when they watch coverage of Francis and hear about his humility and willingness to work together with other faiths, that leaves them with a positive view. Francis can have an impact on this generation and how they view Christians in general.
See, that's what they believe. Francis can have an impact on this generation. Yeah, an impact for evil. And yet Francis doesn't believe in the creation story. He doesn't believe in Francis believes in evolution. Did you know that? Did you know that Francis believes in evolution? That's what Francis, one of the errors that Francis holds to. Well, the Methodist Church has gone chasing after the great whore of Revelation 17 and 18. The Baptist Church has gone whoring after Mystery Babylon. Now, let's find out about the Anglican Church. If you know anything about the Anglican Church, it's split in two. You have the high Anglican Church, which when you say high, it means they believe in the Tower of Babel. That there's an Episcopal hierarchy. The High Anglican Church, the Church of Bloody Mary, but that church believes in the Pope. And then there's what you call the Low Anglican Church. The Low Anglican Church doesn't believe in titles and vestments, doesn't believe in burning candles, doesn't believe in the Pope. The Pope is an Antichrist. So now here comes a representative of the Low Anglican Church, the Protestant Anglican Church. Let's listen.
Thomas Cranmer of the Anglican Church stated long ago the following words: whereof it followeth Rome to be the seat of Antichrist, and the Pope to be very Antichrist himself. I could prove the same by many other scriptures, old writers, and strong reasons. And then moments before being burned at the stake, Thomas Cranmer stated the following from the pulpit: and as for the Pope, I refuse him as Christ's enemy and Antichrist with all his false doctrine.
Thomas Cranmer, minutes before being hauled out of his church, he was preaching. Minutes before being hauled, and he knew where he was going. I mean, it wasn't like it was a sudden arrest. No, he was given one opportunity to preach before being burnt at the stake. And he doubled down. He said, the Pope is Antichrist. This guy who's going to have me burnt at the stake is Antichrist. It's not like he was on his knees begging the Pope to forgive him. It's not like he was on his knees recanting and saying, oh, please don't. But no, he says, listen, I'm going to the stake willingly. I'm not going to change my tune. The Pope is Antichrist. He is the son of perdition. He is the wicked one. He is the little horn. He is that beast in Revelation 13, the Pope. Now, let's listen. Let's listen and see what the Anglicans think today.
Today, the leaders of the Anglican Church state the following: I pray that the nearness of our two inaugurations may serve the reconciliation of the world and the Church. In his address to the Pope, the Archbishop praised the work of popes and archbishops of Canterbury over the past 50 years to bring the Roman Catholic Church and the Anglican Communion closer together.
So what did they do? Archbishop Justin meets Pope Francis in Rome, and he says, I just want to thank the Pope. I just want to thank him for helping us come together and become one. Yeah, the one world religion. Archbishop Justin from the Anglican Church of England meets with the Pope and Francis, and what does he do? He bows down, kisses his ring, and tells him, turn around, I'll kiss your fanny. Why, listen, why is it that the Pope never comes to them and says, let's be reconciled? It's always them going to the Pope. Well, because he's the Antichrist. Now let's read about the Lutherans. Let's see what the Lutherans had to say. Well, we know what Martin Luther said. Martin Luther, just like the Anglicans before him, and just like all of the others, he turned to 2 Thessalonians and said, this applies to the Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians 2 applies to the Antichrist, who is none other than the Pope. But let's hear, after what Martin Luther said, let's hear about what his followers today think about the Pope.
Thank you for watching. Martin Luther stated long ago the following. We here are of the conviction that the papacy is the seat of the true and real Antichrist. Personally, I declare that I owe the Pope no other obedience than that to Antichrist.
Which is nothing. You owe the Pope no obedience because he represents the Antichrist, and it would be foolish for Christians to obey the Antichrist because they owe their singular obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. For you to obey Antichrist is to go against Christ. You owe no obedience to the Antichrist. Even if he has your head cut off, even if he has you burnt at the stake, like Thomas Cranmer said, he says, listen, this is going to be my last sermon. Let me tell you what I think of the Pope. He's Antichrist. I owe no obedience to the Pope. He's Antichrist. And he was burnt at the stake for his resolve, for his stance, for his commitment to the Lord Jesus alone. He was burnt at the stake. Historical fact. And what does Martin Luther say? He says, we are of the conviction that the papacy is the seat of the true and real Antichrist. I owe no obedience to the Pope, for he is the Antichrist. That quote is taken from a book called The Prophetic Faith of Our Fathers, Volume 2. The Prophetic Faith of Our Fathers, our religious spiritual fathers, the Protestants. We owe no obedience to. So what are you doing being obedient? J. Delano Ellis, what are you doing kissing the Pope's fanny? What are you doing in bed with the harlot of Babylon? What are you doing in bed with that seedy church? Well, he shifted allegiance. He's shifted allegiance. Well, let's read what the Lutherans have to say. Let's hear what the Lutherans have to say today about the Pope.
In this newspaper article from back in 1983, we read the following. I think it is important that the Pope came here, prayed, and preached, Pastor Christopher Meyer told the Associated Press.
Pastor Christopher Myers is a Lutheran minister, and he's praising the fact that John Paul II went and preached. That's right. Preached in America. Preached in a Lutheran church. He was ecstatic. He was ecstatic.
During the service, Meyer emphasized the need for one path traveled in common by the world's Christians. Meyer greeted him by saying Santita, which is Italian for Your Holiness.
The Pope is a man. The Pope is the man of sin. The Pope is the son of perdition. What are you doing calling him Your Holiness? There's only one holy, the Lord. But as you can see, my dear brothers and sisters, the Methodists, the Baptists, the Anglicans, and the Lutherans are now in bed with the great harlot of Revelation 17 and 18. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, those of you who are in the black church, those of you who are in the African-American church, are you going to get into bed with the great harlot of Revelation 17 and 18? Your leaders are. J. Delano Ellis and the members of the Joint College of African-American Pentecostal Bishops are already in bed with the great harlot. You're already in bed. Now, let me read to you out of Revelation 18. Starting in Revelation 18, verse 1. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened or lit up with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hateful bird. Listen, the Roman Catholic Church is full of demons, all kinds of demons. That's what the angel is proclaiming. For all nations have drunk of the wine of her wrath, of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. The Roman Catholic Church has really caused a lot of people to depart from God. Verse 4, then I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Well, who is this angel referring to? This angel that's calling out these God's people. Well, who are these people? Well, they're the Methodists that are now in bed with the Roman Catholic Church. They're the Baptists. They're the Anglicans. They're the Lutherans. When God says, when it says here in verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her. Come out of where? Come out of the Roman Catholic Church. Come out of her, my people. Who's it referring to? Well, those Methodists, those Baptists, those Anglicans, those Lutherans, those whatever, African-American Pentecostals, or it's whoever. Whoever's in bed with Rome, come out of her, my people, and be ye not a partaker of her sins, of her fornications, of her adulteries, that you may not receive her plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God have remembered her iniquity. Verse 8, therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. This is why God's calling us out like he called out Lot when he was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Therefore her plagues shall come in one day, death. Remember the 10 plagues of Egypt, how they were spread out over time within one year. Moses kept going back to Pharaoh, and it was over a one-year period of time that God unleashed 10 plagues. Well, now God is not going to wait 1 year to unleash 10 plagues. In one day, he's going to unleash all his plagues. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly destroyed. Who's the she? The harlot church. She shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. My brothers and sisters, it's time to come out of the harlot church. It's time to come out of the harlot church. Are you in bed with Rome? Well, brother reformer, I'm not in bed, but my bishop is. Well, if you're going to that church, you're in bed with Rome. Why? Because your bishop has Romanized your church. He's done it. But are you reading the Apostles' Creed? Are you reciting the Apostles' Creed? He's Romanized your church. When you speak of praise and worship, do they now call it liturgy? He's Romanized your church. Are you taking communion and your pastor is calling it the Eucharist? He's Romanized your church. Is your pastor now dressed as a Roman Catholic bishop? He's Romanized your church. Do you have to now kiss his Episcopal ring? He's Romanized your church. Come out from among her, says the Lord. Get out. Get out. My brothers and sisters, this is rapidly taking place all over. Rapidly taking place. The Methodists have joined Rome. The Baptists have joined Rome. The Anglicans in America have joined Rome. Yes, there are Anglicans in America. Yes, yes, yes. Anglicanism isn't just for England. There are many in America who have Anglican roots and who worship using the Anglican prayer book. Not only have the Anglicans, my brothers and sisters, but the Lutherans and every other group now is joining up with Rome. Even the crazy charismaniacs like Kenneth Copeland and his buddies, they're all joining with Rome. Even apostate groups that try to call themselves evangelicals, even they're joining with Rome. My brothers and sisters, let us open up our eyes. We're in the last days. The one world religion is coming into focus. And you need to come out from among them. Well, my brothers and sisters, that'll do it for today. Remember, if you want the free ebook, email me at freechurchbooks@gmail.com. freechurchbooks@gmail.com. And there's not going to be a Memorial holiday weekend for us. I'll be in studio tomorrow. I'll be in studio on Sunday. I'll be in studio on Monday. We've got much work to do. No vacation for us. Love you much in Jesus. God bless you.
Despise forsake.